I've definitely been like this on location. You get used to looking for crossroads. You get used to looking for deer trails or game trails. And you focus and you focus and you focus on that. And then all of a sudden, you're just on autopilot the way you're going. But when you're in that zone, in that tunnel vision, everything else, all this information that you could be using, you're not using. So just keep that in mind. The purpose of thinking is not to think. And when you don't think, you're being normal. When you're being normal, guess what, guys? That means you get normal results. And if the normal results aren't working the way they should, guess what? You do more of the thing that's not working, or do you less of the thing that's not working. Very few people do anything different. And I'm willing to bet, just like me, just like you, if we run a camera crew behind you on a line where things aren't going right, you're doing the same thing at a higher volume. Kind of like the old farmer losing 5 cents a watermelon when he sells them, so he go gets a bigger truck. Doesn't work. The big problem with this tunnel vision, guys, when it comes to your trapping, your business, your family, your life, and everything else, is it confuses you on the real results that you're having. Because you're in this lane, you're in this tunnel, and you're looking in your rearview mirror, and you're seeing where your competition at, or what you caught last night, or the year before, and all of this. But everything outside of that tunnel, you're not seeing it. And since you're not seeing that, you have no idea if you're anywhere meeting the potential of whatever that activity is. Because if you're in it, you're going to be getting normal results. And I don't think most people go out to set a trap to get normal results. What people find out is they're not in front of the pack most of the time. Most of the time they're towards the back of the pack. They just don't know it. And then they come across information, or they hear about somebody or something like that, and it's completely blows their worldview about what's going on, because they thought that they were like one of the best, and all of a sudden then they find out that they're below average. But if they wouldn't have been in the tunnel, they probably could have seen that just a little bit quicker. Now, another way, because we've all heard this phrase, got to think outside of the box. I've heard this phrase, and I've had people tell me that over and over again, that I think outside of the box. Have you ever thought what that box is? Have you really ever thought what that is? If you were to draw a box in front of you, or mentally draw one in front of you, it's going to have at least four sides. Most of the time, those sides, you might as well just go and put a word on them, because it's exactly what it is. You have moral limits, you have legal limits, you have technological limits, what is technically available, and then you have physical limits. And there can be other limits, but this box, no matter what the field is, whether it be trapping, snaring, a business, most of the times those are going to be called something similar to this. Have you ever heard the industry standard? An industry norm? Have you ever heard those things? Because trappers have that. You have trappers' norms, and you have trapper standards of what a lot of people think when they're thinking of sets, locations, everything else. But really what that is the box. That is absolutely the box. Now, I should have brought a flashlight out here, to be honest with you. What that box is always going to give you, guys, is normal. And I'm gonna prove a couple of points to you how people have autopilot and they don't even think about it. Let's say that I, at the end of a convention sometime, you happen to be at my table, I'm hungry, you're hungry, I go, let's go get something to eat. Now, in the box, normal, standard, what does that normally mean to people? Well, it's probably going to mean you're going to run to a restaurant. If I've got my RV, it could be something at the RV. If you're set up there as a tent, you know, tent camping, you may, you know, cooking something over a fire. But see, that's very limited on the way that we think. What if if you said, Clint, let's go get something to eat, and I go, you go, hey, that's a good idea. You know, I saw two dead raccoons on the road coming in the gate this morning, looked pretty fresh. Let me go get them real quick and we'll cook those up. Now most people's gonna look at me like I'm crazy or that I am pulling a prank or something like that. In their box, that's true. But see, that's in your box. A lot of the world, that's normal. Your normal's not better than their normal. That's just their normal. We just have a lot of advantages here. So we go to the restaurant, right? What if we're both going to be cooking and you go, you know, I've got some potatoes to make some French fries and I've got some cornbread going. Bring over some meat. Normal. Steak, chicken, fish, bologna, hot dogs, hamburgers. Now, outside of that box, just like the rest of the world, and I was in Thailand, they eat a tremendous amount of insects. High protein, high saturated fat, very healthy for you, and you don't have to have a farm to grow it. See, if you're thinking about normal, that's way out of normal. Way, way, way out of normal. But it is only abnormal to you because you're looking at everything through a box. You're on autopilot. You're in a tunnel zone about it. And you're going to be doing the same thing. You don't even think about it. You go to a restaurant. It's like knee-jerk reaction because thinking takes a lot of energy. If you want to be the 3%, you can't think like that. Okay, I'm going to give a couple examples here, guys. If you were to take yourself out of the box, I'm going to give you an example how some people have done that. There's a London taxi company that was expanding rapidly. This cab company could not find many cab drivers with the knowledge. And apparently in the taxi business, the knowledge means you can just go take me to 24th and Rosemary Street, and the dude knows where he is and he goes. Well, it takes a lot of time in a big city to be able to figure that out, the knowledge. Well, this company wanted to grow. So what does a normal industry standard happen? You try to hire people that have the knowledge. So you compete over them, right? Or you find people and you spend a lot of money training them to get the knowledge, to be able for people to tell them where they're going, and they just take them there. Well, this company thought way outside of the box, and this is going to sound cute, it's freaking genius, but it's not normal, and there's a reason most people would never think of doing something like this. They had two taxi cabs that they had. They had a normal taxi cab, the dude with the knowledge. And then they had a secondary taxi cab, had this great big sign on the top. This taxi has a very good driver, but knows nothing about London and would love for you to tell him where to take you. You know what? The people that got to give the taxi guys their instruction, those taxis got more business than the regular taxi guys did. So what they did is they thought outside of the box. A taxi driver's got to know where he's going or he can't be a good taxi driver. No. That is somebody that's thinking inside the box. Outside of the normal is we got a driver, we got a car. He don't know where the crap he's at, but he knows that people love to tell taxi drivers where to go, especially people that live there. They don't have to feel like they're getting taken on a wild goose case for more money. So they get to be the boss of the taxi driver, and they lined up to get in that taxi. Completely outside of the box. Another example. Let's say that you're really good at building furniture. What does that mean? In your mind right now, guys, what does that mean? Well, You design the furniture. You get the raw materials in. You plane them out. You paint them. You upholster them. You do whatever you're doing. You put them together. You put them in a showroom. And then people come and they pay you for the furniture and you load it up in the truck and they go. That is normal until IKEA. That's a furniture company that don't even put together their own furniture. They have really cool furniture, but if you want their furniture, you've got to do the labor to put it together. Completely outside of the box. You could see this with Tesla. All the time I'm growing up, you want to buy a new car, you do what? You take your butt down and get harassed by a car dealer or car salesman at a dealership. Tesla didn't play that game. No one else in the industry has ever done anything like this until Tesla. Now there's other people are doing it because the norm, the answers to the questions have changed. You can just order your car online, come pick it up somewhere, or get it delivered. Something as simple as that is changing the norms. So if you do what everybody else does, you're never going to be distinguishable from anybody else. Now, if you're trying to build a lure business, you're trying to build an ADC business, you're trying to build a predator control business, and you do what everybody else does, guess what? Nobody's going to pay attention to you. What you have to do is look at the industry standards of a lure business, an ADC business, or a predator control business, or a business that sells 6 foot tall Smurfs for people to put in their gardens. I don't care what it is. You've got to figure out a way to not be normal and fall within the normalcy box that everybody else is. This is what I'm saying. You got to think what your brain doesn't want to do, because it's so easy to go, I need to make money in trapping. This is why me and Jeff, when we did the show about the copycat boys, that is what they're doing. See, they're not trying to do anything outside of the norm except go, so-and-so's selling, so he's got four different coyote lures and three baits and some coon DP baits, and he sells urine. So when I come back to the show, I'm going to have four coyote lures, three baits, some DP bait, and some urine. See, the normal is you just look what's out there and you do it. It's normal if you just follow what people tell you to do in trapping and you just follow it because that's the standard. And if you don't think there's a standard, let me take you to the state of North Carolina. I love the guys that trap in North Carolina. Some of the best people in the world. But very rare, and I've gave lots of instruction in North Carolina. I've seen lots of demos in North Carolina. The normal way to do a coyote set in North Carolina is a dead ringer for basically a legget fox set, but you move the track back a couple inches. That's the normal. Everybody I've ever been out with, that's the way they trap. Now, am I saying that's the best way or the only way? I don't know, but I know it's the normal way, and I know the normal way is 97% of people that are getting normal results, so I'm probably going to look at something just a little bit different. That's me personally on this. I don't know if that's the best thing for everybody, but we all think of a dirt hole set and we have a standard in mind, or a flat set, we have a standard in mind, or the way we set up our snares or whatever. See, one of the things that I really like about being around Chip and Jeff and Tim and Carl and some other guys that I'm really tight with is when we get together, we take those four sides of those boxes, we take it out to the burn barrel and we burn it. Chip's got a product coming out. He hadn't told me to say anything to anybody, so I'm not going to. I've never thought about this. It's the most completely non-industry standard way to go about a trap line I've ever thought about. But when I saw it and he told me about it, I would have had 300 of those with me 20 years ago. Every day I'm out trapping. because things happen in life and he's got a solution. But I can tell you, I'm going to have to hold on to that. But I can tell, there's a norm that everybody does when this situation in life happens to them, where they've got to pull traps, they step on the trap and they fire it off. And then guess what? They got to go back through that whole freaking line and rebed all those traps. If you're using wax dirt, you're going to use a lot more wax dirt or peat moss or anything. All that. He's got a solution to that. Me and Chip's working on a trap. Do you need jaws to catch a coyote? Well, the industry standard is you got to have a pivot point with two jaws that come together and that holds a coyote. Really? Or is that normal? Because what we're doing ain't normal. I can promise you that. Way outside of the realm of a 550 or an MJ600 or a Bridger square jawed number 2 or whatever your trap of choice is. Way outside the box of that. There was talk years ago from Slim Peterson that he had a trap that actually caught coyotes with a chain. Now, I never saw this, but somehow the chain would wrap around and go up the leg of a coyote. I don't know how he was doing it or what he was doing it. Slim Peterson does not follow normal practices in trapping. So he was looking at traps radically different than he was then. See, when I come up with Full Metal Jacket, which just everybody knows and everybody knows, I don't own that. F&T owns that. They bought it for me about a decade ago. There were two options of dips for years. And there was all these different varieties, and everybody was trying to have a better label or a better tagline or whatever, but it was the norm. One was made, basically you would add gas, and if you don't know what that product is, I'm not going to tell you, but it's if you get looking into it, it's not that complicated. The other one is a water-based. Again, very simple, but those were the two options. When Full Metal Jacket came out, radically different. And people fought it tooth and nail for a long time because it was not the norm. Because you don't have to clean your traps as much. You don't have the issues with the wax getting rubbed off of it or anything like that the same. There's years, I may go 2 or 3, 4 years sometimes on certain traps before I ever have to re-dip them again. But the norm is you boil and wax your traps before every season. That's the norm. And it freaks people out to not do the norm, even though they can look at the trap and go, it doesn't need anything done to it, but I've got to clean it before we start the next season. I've got to do this. That's normal. I'm not sure it's optimal, especially with time management. See, like normal today is if you buy a video from me or Jeff or June or anybody else, this little thing comes in the mail, and it's a DVD that comes in this little bitty box. It's got a picture on the outside of it. And that's normal today. It wasn't normal when we switched over from VHSs. VHS is a big clunky takes you had to have a VHS player for. And that normal at the time, even when most people, after several years, we're getting away from VHS. Our industry, the trapping industry, freaked out when two people at the same time, unbeknownst that we were both doing it, came out with DVDs first. All they could do was tell us why it was not a good idea, it was going to be a failure, trappers wouldn't buy it, this, that, and the other. Me and Alan were the first two people to switch over from VHS to DVDs. See, the industry standard, the box, was VHS. We went outside of that box. in our industry, that was radically, radically different. How radical is it now that you can go to howtotrapit.com for $199, you get to watch, what is it, 24 videos, and you don't even get a disc. Now see, eventually that will be the industry standard. But all the dealers freaked out when I did that. They really did. They freaked out. And some of them are still upset over that because the industry standard. Now, when you're looking at your business or your trap line or your hobbies, what is everybody doing and telling you that's what you got to do? If you believe it, you're going to get the same results as everybody else. The psychiatrist, from giving many, many tests, only about 3% of the people, and I love how this was phrased, give themselves permission to think out of normal. But see, that's a conscious decision, guys. You can choose not to think in the normal. You can choose that there's not physical limits like two jaws to catch a coyote. Dave Edwards somehow had a two-jawed body grip that he was catching muskrats in. I've never seen it. Body grip has four jaws. Two go in opposite directions, and they close on each other. He was doing it with two jaws. So he didn't limit to what a body grip was at all. Totally up to you on the best way for you to go about your life and think. But if you want to be the best trapper you're ever going to be, you need to be in that 3%, not the 97%. Because there's no way to be the best trapper you can be if you're normal. But you better be willing to think. And if you think you're just going to get on Google and get Google information, or email somebody, or PM somebody somewhere, that ain't going to get it. Because there's just as good a chance that the person you're talking to, that's whatever, they're going to be thinking normal too. I've got to consciously all the time go about it where I'm not in that particular mode.